I mean, he enjoyed teasing people. And so he had nicknames for different monks, because he had a hard time sort of picking up the names of people, so it was what was familiar with him. So that one of he loved to play with language and words, and so that one of the monks in those early days was a Japanese monk, and as a layman, his name was Shibahashi, and Ajahn Chah couldn't quite pick it up, but he ended up being called Sibat Hasib, which was, you know, £4.50 sort of, you know, Ajahn Amaro's lay name is Jeremy, and so that Ajahn Chah always, it was his name for young Amaro, was Jalebi, which is like axle grease. So there's kind of playful names for people. Fortunately, I showed up already ordained, so I had my Pali names. I was spared the funny nickname. But there's also an occasion when Kitty Sorrow, who many of you might remember, was in our community years ago, and he's a lay person now, a lay teacher living in America. But when he was a young monk, he got sent off to, he trained at Wat Nanai Chat, lived with Ajahn Chah for a bit, and then went off to a branch monastery, a very good branch monastery, but, you know, sometimes you end up getting lonely out in these branch monasteries. And so he was getting, you know, he was hit a wall with his practice, and he wasn't a happy camper, and his feeling was, everything is so hopeless, I'll never be able to smile again, and it's just everything is miserable. This is miserable, and he went to Ajahn Chah to sort of, I'm not quite sure why he went. I mean, one is because I don't think he was keen on disrobing, but I think he might have felt, what am I going to do? Everything is so dreary and hopeless. And as Kitty Sorrow tells it, Ajahn Chah, he gave all sorts of telling stories and giving images and encouraging him, and to the point that Kitty Sorrow was on the floor laughing, couldn't stop laughing. He said, "Well, you know, when you're a young monk, you're kind of like, you know, it's kind of like there's a little baby squirrel, and it sees the baby flying squirrel, and it sees the adults flying, and it wants to fly too. It wants to jump off, and it jumps off the tree, and clunk. He goes up again. He's really determined, and he's going to do it like the big guys, and clunk." And Ajahn Chah going through all the more, telling the story and until it was just so funny and so ludicrous that he was laughing and couldn't stop laughing. In Thailand, you've got these crickets that have quite a very loud and and actually quite very quite pleasant sound. And then there was a, he said, and so that there's crickets making this, this quite pleasant sound, and it's quite musical, and then this donkey hears them, and he starts, how do they get this, how do they make such a beautiful sound, so loud, and it's kind of musical, and somebody tells the donkey, oh, it's because in the early morning the crickets go out and they drink the dew off the grass, and then when they over the and then after it's when they do that, and that's what does it, and so then the donkey will go, oh, wow, okay, that's what I'll do, and so he's very diligently going and drinking the dew off the gun, and then finally he's comes up, okay, now I'm going to be able to. And of course he opens his mouth and it's just a he's a donkey. He said, and sometimes it's like that as a, you know, as a young monk, you want to be like the others, and you think, well, if you just do it like that, somehow it's good. But there's more to it than that. And so yes, you have to be patient. You have to learn how to change. And so it's just this kind of empathy and compassion that was very it was something that we all felt. He had this tremendous compassion for all of us, and sometimes even when he was very strict with us, I never felt it came from a place of aversion or kind of personal agenda in any way. It was something, so that it was quite exceptional like that. Everybody trusted him, whether one was a monastic or a lay person.